You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle. Welcome to View from the Couch on Wednesday, September the 15th. Had to look at the calendar.
September 15th.
I blanked out. Wow. It's
over a month to Halloween and our children are already traumatized.
Hey, and guess what? It's dropping to single digits overnight all week this week.
What?
Yes. -1 Celsius in a couple of days.
We better go check the trailer out then.
Well, I don't know if it's... Yeah, we have a motorhome, as everyone knows.
Will anything freeze?
No, I don't think it will, but I need to find out what to do fairly quick.
Yeah.
It's not... Yeah. So, anyway, we're, I mean, this is unusual for September, so it should, I'm hoping it'll still rebound, because it doesn't really get cold until mid-October, late October for us.
Yeah, typically.
So, this is crap.
Yeah.
This is total crap. Oh, and by the way, Connor's not allowed to say crap at school.
No, apparently not.
So, I said, all right, then, unload all four letters of the irregular version on them.
No.
But he didn't know, he didn't.
Just getting back to the weather, I was talking about that with my massage therapist today.
Ooh, RMT.
Yeah. And she was saying that the global trend this last summer was that around the world...
The weather sucked.
Temperatures were an average of 2 degrees higher than usual, except Western Canada.
Shut up.
We got screwed.
The entire planet?
Yeah.
The entire planet.
Except for us. Yes.
So anyone, if you have room in your basement, anyone who's listening, you know, it's funny because when Michael, thank you again to Michael and Melissa for stepping in when we were, it was like we were going to show up on a milk carton somewhere, but when they stepped in and Michael was talking about Labor Day and, well, don't they have Labor Day? And Melissa said, I don't know. I think she said, I don't know. I don't live in Canada. It wasn't real disgust. It was disdain, but not disgust. But he said, well, we've got a partially Canadian audience here. And she said, I don't know. So Michael and I agreed that, yes, we have Labor Day with a U. So, because I said to him, yeah, we've got Labor Day, and purposely didn't put in the U because I always de-anglicize my spelling whenever I write my reviews because it's an American, DVD Verdict is an American site. But anyway. And, of course, you can't hear my British spelling when we record. So
what did they have? Do they have a long weekend there?
They do.
At the same, like,
they
our
do,
same
and
weekend?
It's Labor Day.
Oh.
Yep.
Without a U.
When babies are born around the world. No, it's different kind of labor.
Without a U?
Yes.
So ours is with a U and theirs is without.
Ours is labour, theirs is labor. Zsa-zsa labor. You know... What we haven't done in a long time.
What we haven't we done in a long time.
Couch Entertainment News. So there you go. Back
Yay.
In the saddle again.
I suggested that we put in some more of our
you
intro
did.
Stuff.
Back into the classics, which, of course, Michelle doesn't really give a flying... bat poo, because I'm the one who does all the production. So, oh, yeah, sure, let's just add that right on in. You don't have to do bupkis. Okay, so what's going on in Hollywood? Not a lot.
Ryan Reynolds is looking hot as usual.
Oh, shut up with the Ryan Reynolds. I mean, honey, close your mouth. we don't want to promote anger and marital discord. What I find a little silly is, well, I don't know. Franchise building is, I guess it should be expected. And if they're putting money into making a movie, why shouldn't they think about the fact that let's make 15 of them and start them all now before the first ones even come out? So yeah. Playwright Michael Goldenberg tells a source that the Flash film, so there's a film of The Flash in the works, I forgot about that, is still in the early stages, but a Green Lantern sequel is already moving along fast. So Ryan hasn't donned the emerald and hit the big screen yet, but we got a sequel in the works.
Weird.
Yeah, so they turned in a treatment. The writers turned in a treatment for Flash, and they're talking about Green Lantern 2 now. One of the writers actually performed a rewrite of an existing script on the first Lantern film, and they liked the rewrite so much that he was hired to write both the sequel and The Flash back in June.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, yeah. You know, obviously, because wasn't it,
it's your favorite thing, more superhero movies.
Yeah, but wasn't it, oh, the guy who filmed those movies in New Zealand.
That guy with a thing, Peter Jackson, you mean?
Yeah, wasn't he the first one to do that?
Record a bunch of movies and then release them? Back to the Future 2 and 3 were shot at the same time, right?
So I guess it's been done a while.
And there's probably more. Feel free to let us know if there are more that we are not thinking of. But yeah, Back to the Future jumps into my head right away.
I'm guessing that it's just, it has to be the right combination of a director and backers and whatever to give them the confidence that it's gonna, they're gonna fly, or they wouldn't, you know, like not just any movies would be able to get away with that and not get totally sunk at the box office.
Yes,
in the end.
So who out there liked Clash of the Titans? You sir, there in the back. You liked Clash of the Titans? No, I didn't bother inflicting it on you. It was okay. It had some whatever. Sam Worthington is set to return for a sequel. Now, how do you make a sequel to Clash of the Titans when they killed the Kraken and killed Medusa and killed so-and-so and all these people died and the big scorpions all died and so...
Well, they won't be able to have any Titans in it.
No, it'll be Clash of the... Clash of...
Gods.
Captain Underpants.
I mean, there's always someone to fight with. It doesn't have to be the Titans.
Yeah, it could be Clash of the Grandparents. These people are old and they fight each other in a retirement home.
Sounds fun.
Sam Worthington is back. Gemma Arterton, Ralph Fiennes, and Liam Neeson are all back. But then there's a whole new group of people beyond that. Now, what is the... Coming back for the sequel... nothing really that... Talking about it too much. Just that those actors are coming back for it. So that's awesome. I really couldn't care less about a Clash of the Titans sequel, I'm sorry to say. That's really too bad.
That's sad.
What else am I looking forward to? I am looking forward to the Blu-ray release of the Alien movies.
Oh, yes.
That's coming out in October. I am making good use of Kijiji again.
Yes.
Posting, listing, selling. It's crazy. Crazy, yes. I tell you.
I am looking forward to Grease coming to Edmonton next month.
Grease coming to Edmonton next month.
Yep.
At a fast food outlet near you.
With one of the actors from Laverne and Shirley.
What?
In it. Yeah.
Who?
I can't remember his name.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, yeah.
Lenny? Squiggy? Is it one of them?
I don't know. Must be, but I don't know.
That would narrow it down because there was pretty much just two male.
I don't know.
Okay.
They didn't say
clearly
his name
Michelle,
on the show. They
clearly,
said his real actor, his real name. And
clearly,
I
Michelle doesn't know.
It.
She just likes Grease and it's coming here.
And they played a bunch of the songs on the radio.
Wow.
And then I wanted to go see it.
You know what? Great Big Sea are coming here. Trans-Siberian Orchestra are coming here. I want to see both of those groups perform
Grease.
Live. I'd rather shoot myself in the head than see Grease. So anyway, Grease, you know what? Grease is the word.
It is.
It is the word. So that, there's pretty much nothing going on in Hollywood. No, I shouldn't say that. It's just, it's in that weird...
Paris Hilton was arrested for cocaine possession.
No way. That never happens.
And apparently she keeps it in her vajayjay.
Whoa!
I saw that on a headline.
Okay.
On a magazine
okay.
in the checkout line.
Wow. Wow.
So apparently if you call it that, you can write it on the front cover of your magazine.
I feel so uncomfortable. I need to talk about something else.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, are we 14 or 2?
Yeah.
Anyway.
What was I saying before you did that? With your inappropriate talk.
Talking about, I don't know.
Yeah, so what, we're in that weird limbo of a few weeks between summer movie season being over and fall TV season starting up. We're in that weird, wow, I'm keeping you awake. It's like sitting next to a SeaWorld act. Michelle is just yawning away.
I'm sorry.
You were the one that was all, oh yeah, let's record now. Let's record tonight. I'll just hit that microphone. Sorry. Let's record tonight. I'm ready to go. And I said, I'd rather sleep. So we're in that weird. So we've got, of course, everyone knows the 52,000 shows that we watch regularly. I am looking forward to, now we're two seasons behind in Castle. We watched, I think, one episode of the first season.
Yeah.
So we need to get caught up on Castle. Castle premieres on September 20th. Also on September 20th is the new event kind of TV series called The Event, ironically. So it's some big thing that's happening, some worldwide phenomenon. Sounds like Flash Forward, which was canceled. Oh. But no, I don't know. Okay. And then the one I'm really, really jonesing about is Hawaii Five-0. That looks great. It sounds great. It's set in Hawaii.
You know what's coming up? Is it this? Might even be the day where this is airing, or else it's the Wednesday after.
Okay.
2-hour premiere of Big Brother, followed by the premiere of Survivor.
Wow.
Where the tribes are divided into oldest and youngest.
Can we be divided into don't care and couldn't care less? I don't care about Big Brother. I don't care about Survivor. Haven't in years.
But I heard this on the radio, and so I just had to throw it out there.
Wow. Throw it out there. Yeah, I'm so done with reality TV. Tuesday, September 21st is Glee.
We need to finish last season.
Which we need to finish, yes. Wednesday, September 22nd, Modern Family, one of my top five favorite shows now, I'd say.
That's a good one.
Thursday, September 23rd is pretty action-packed. Wow. Bones, CSI, the original, Vegas, Grey's Anatomy, and Private Practice on Thursday, the 23rd.
How come Thursday is always such a good TV night?
It just is. It's because people go out on Friday. And earlier in the week isn't as strong. So you got people home. It's almost the weekend. Everybody's relaxing. Friday, September 24th is CSI New York, which we love still. Human Target, which I'm looking forward to seeing come back. And the show I watch by myself, Supernatural, going into its sixth season.
You know, I still remember back in the day when Thursday ER, Friends, and Frasier.
Yes.
I miss those Thursday nights.
Those
they rocked. That was back when ER was good, like in the beginning.
Did we watch ER ever?
Oh, yeah.
Together?
I don't know.
That was your first husband.
Maybe that was before we were married?
Weird. When we were watching In Sin before we were married.
I don't know. I think in the beginning we did.
In the beginning we did.
When we were first married.
And that was when I converted you into Star Trek, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager. Mostly Voyager.
Yeah. None of those other ones until more recently.
Well, we managed to see Salt.
We did.
With a little grain of. Which my buddy John at work said he actually needed a grain of it to watch it. But he did find it enjoyable, as did I. I told him that I had pegged the outcome about halfway through the movie, and he said, wow, that's impressive. He said, I had no idea. So I just said, yeah, I don't know. I had just kind of talked through it. I was unraveling the plot in my head, and I went, wait a minute.
So then you had to say it out loud and ruin it for me.
Oh, you didn't believe me.
You said it.
Did you?
I agreed with you.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Salt. You are kind of tired of Angelina Jolie.
A little bit, yeah.
And you had an interesting comment the other night. You said, do you recall or do I need
to? Yeah, no. And I may have said this before, but...
I don't think you have.
The more I know about an actor, you know, like their charities and their families and their kids and their husband and everything they do in their life.
All of which is true, I told her, by the way. Anything you read online...
It doesn't matter if it's true or not. So the more that you've heard, I mean... It's true that she has six kids.
Yep.
It's true that she works for the UN and does all this ambassador
charity work
and whatever stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, all of that is true. Yep. I'm not saying I believe stuff that isn't true.
No.
But anyway.
The purple fuzzy unicorn that's in her backyard is...
Right.
...in question.
The less I enjoy watching them on film, because I can't get
disassociate
past that.
And it's interesting, because... Michelle has found, like, you can't, she gets right in, if she's going to get into a story, she gets right into it and invests in it completely.
Yeah.
But that's interesting because you are that way with friendships. It takes you time to trust, time to let somebody in, mm-hmm. but once they're in, you're fiercely loyal. And it's not that you're an unkind or cold-hearted kind of person. You're just, when you give your friendship, you give it unconditionally, but the person has to prove worthy of it. That sounds wrong. It makes it sound like you're snotty and aloof, but not at all. Once I think
I can be, I'm friendly, but I might not invite you out for coffee for a couple of years.
We've never been out for coffee. What does that say? Should I call for help?
No.
Counseling?
No. We have coffee at home.
We do. Which you never drink.
But anyway, and so that is why Kent, knowing who Nathan Fillion is, and having gone to school with him, and choir, and boarded with him, and oh, and he did this, and we ate somebody's food, and whatever, now I cannot watch him.
Seriously?
Anymore. No.
Oh.
Only if you don't say anything. But you can't not say anything. Every time you see him, you look at me and go, oh, that's so weird.
Well, it is weird.
Oh, that's so weird. And then I look, and then that's it. I can't even get into it at all.
He and I were in an improv class together, had all our classmates and our prof laughing their guts out. He and I just do an improv on our own, and we had a blast.
Just makes it harder to watch him.
Yeah, true. Okay.
And, you know, but otherwise, I don't know much about him. I don't know if he has a girlfriend. I don't know if he's married. I don't know if he has kids. I don't think he does.
You don't need to know.
I don't even know where he lives.
You don't need to know. You know,
whereas Angelina Jolie is one of those people who is so public, you know everything about her. So how can you watch her on screen and believe that she's that character when you know everything about her? I would have enjoyed Salt more if there had been an unknown actress in that role, or else somebody who doesn't live such a public life.
Ruth Buzzi in Salt.
Exactly.
I liked it a lot.
Joe Schmo.
It's interesting. The other thing we talked about with related to all of this is the fourth wall. So for anyone who's an actor, you know that the fourth wall refers to the audience is looking in on something, looking in on events that are happening. It's not, there's a fourth wall at the front of the stage or at the movie theater side of the screen. And we are looking in, we're not part of the action. So for you, it essentially breaks the fourth wall when you feel like you know that person.
Mm-hmm.
The fictional character they are is not real. It is total fiction. Harder for you to get into.
Yeah.
Anyway, Salt. Cool action. Lots of fun. Great writing. Some great dialogue. Great cinematography. Do you have to check your brain at the door? Kinda. She's very superhero-ish, you know.
Yeah,
she probably got bruised in a lot of.
No kidding.
But there's no. But I mean, there's no broken bones or anything. But it's cool though. I mean, you go into it thinking this is hyper reality, and it's a pretty fun ride.
Yeah.
Pretty fun ride.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I could enjoy it, I did enjoy it.
There is talk of sequels, which is something I was interested in right away, because I think there's a lot more they can do with that character and explore with that character, and that's exactly what Angelina Jolie has said, is that she's willing to go back into that world. So, what else did we do? We watched, something for the Disney Vault. And there's another thing I had to insert into the show this week.
Yay for you.
Yay for me. Whatever makes you happy, dear. So we're back to the Disney Vault, which is our ongoing series, which was on hiatus, looking at live-action Disney movies from the 50s until more present times. And we've constantly been moving up in the years, but we've kind of jumped around here and there a little bit. And actually, this week, we technically have a double feature Disney Vault.
We do.
Double shot. Okay, so the double shot is Flight of the Navigator from 1986. And as we were watching this with the kids, well, actually, let's jump over to them, get their impressions, and we'll come back. I'm here with Connor and Emily, and we are here to talk about Flight of the Navigator. You both forgot. You both looked at me with blank faces.
Silence.
Which doesn't work for radio. Silence. So tell me about Flight of the Navigator. We watched it as a family. Did you like it?
Yes. It was great. I loved it.
What did you... Okay, let's go ladies first. Emily, what did you like about it?
I liked that the little alien guy was like... They didn't show him at all. They just had like a little face thingy.
little face thingy.
And that was sticking out and, like, talking.
Oh, like the big glowing ball that was on the end of that arm that kind of came out to talk to him?
Yeah.
Talk to the boy?
He called him Max.
He called him Max. Because its name was Trimaxian something, so David called him Max.
For short.
That's right, it was easier. What did you like about it? Did you like the weird time travel kind of stuff?
Yeah, that was kind of freaky because all of a sudden he was like, everybody was older than him, like his younger brother was older
than
him.
And he was the same.
And he was the same age he was.
Was that scary or just weird?
Just weird.
Yeah. Connor, what about you? What did you like about it? I bet you liked the ship.
Uh-huh, I liked the ship. It was cool. I liked, like, how the, like, closed part turned into
how the door melted down into stairs.
Yeah.
That was cool, hey? That's cool. Do you like the effects?
And then it seals back up.
Did you like the story?
Yeah. I liked the characters. I especially liked that little creature.
The little thing.
I liked all the animals.
Yeah, the little alien creatures that were in the ship when he went on board.
But especially the one that was completely harmless.
Yes, he had little suction cup hands, didn't he?
Suction cup fingers.
Suction cup fingers, very
cute. He was cute.
Did he seem like he was a puppet, maybe?
I don't know.
He was too tiny to be a puppet.
Like, just a little guy?
Yeah, he was like tiny. About like my little bear, Chilsey.
Cool. So you guys are 8 and 10, and you liked it. Do you think most kids about your age would like it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah? Probably.
Did you get bored? You guys didn't seem to get bored at all. You were interested the whole time.
It's great, except for there's a couple swears in it.
Ah, yes. We, Connor and Emily were, and Michelle and I were a bit surprised, too, that there was... and not only just run-of-the-mill swears, but a little bit strong language for, especially for a Disney movie that's clearly being marketed to families and kids. So I found that odd as well.
So you might want to have your kids a little bit older, like in 6 or 7.
Like 10 or 10.
So it depends on the swearing factor in your house. If that's fairly common... it might not be a big surprise, but if you're concerned about your kids learning some language, especially as a surprise in a Disney film, you might want to screen this first. But there you have it, Flight of the Navigator, according to Connor and Emily.
Yes. And some other things I'd like to add, like the stuff like at first, like he went in the police car to that person's house and they asked them if they had, like, a son or whatever. And then they were, like, talking. And then all of a sudden he's like, who are these people? Because they didn't really
look like his parents. They didn't look like he remembered them.
They looked older.
Well, let's not tell too much because we don't want to give away the whole story.
Yes.
So there you go, guys. Thanks for stopping by. Glad to have you review something in person again. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
So there you go. That's their impressions of
Flight of the Navigator.
So I was thinking about it the other day at work when I was supposed to be working, and I thought, Flight of the Navigator, why is it so really unfamiliar to me? Well, 1986, I was graduating from high school and thinking about my life. So that's why. I was not a kid anymore.
No.
This was the wrong time for me.
Right. And I would have been 13.
Yikes.
I honestly don't remember it at all.
No.
Was it in theaters?
It was. It was, yeah. I found it was weak.
Yeah, it was a little.
You know, and Disney on the live action side had been having some problems with their live action stuff, their live action features throughout the 80s. And, you know, there was a lot of weak... weak films, weak plots, just not great. And I think Flight of the Navigator was actually one of the first movies that kind of started to pull them out of their live action slump. So that was, you know, that was good.
Yeah. You know, it started out strong. The problem came when it
got weak
to the alien on the ship. It was really lame.
Computerized ship.
Yeah. Cause you know, it starts out in the beginning that, you don't know what's in the ship. It could be anything.
It's mysterious.
You're expecting a little green man, to be honest.
Yeah, or some sort of alien. You know,
yeah, or some sort of a life form. And then it turns out that it's really not that at all. and it's really kind of lame. It's it has what's-his-face's voice.
It's a telescopic arm with a light on the end of it. That it's the ship is robotic, so it's got a robotic pilot, and he talks to David, the little boy who's in the movie. And the ship is called a Trimaxian drone ship, and so David almost immediately nicknames it Max. And if you look in the credits, Max is voiced by an actor named Paul Mall. Well, that's actually just a red herring. The actor who voices it, voices Max, perhaps you've heard of him, is Paul Rubens, who voiced Pee-wee Herman, who was Pee-wee Herman, is Pee-wee Herman. And also voiced the main character in Star Tours. Star Tours.
At Disneyland.
Yeah.
The ride.
So, yeah. And it's
so
pretty...
So that's where it gets weak. Like, until the point where you don't know what's in the ship, it's fairly good, actually. And then at that point, it turns
sour.
Downward.
Yeah. And then it's really...
It starts to crash.
That whole part is really goofy. And then it kind of wraps up.
And the end was good, because they don't make it seem like it was all a dream, which they could have, and which would have been really lame. So...
Yes, Knots Landing, we're talking about you.
Yeah. So, it's... Honestly, I enjoyed it enough that I wasn't bored, I wasn't checking my watch, and I wasn't wanting to go upstairs and do something else.
Very young Sarah Jessica Parker is in it.
Yeah. So it's worth, it really is worth watching for the most part. It just could have been better than it was, basically.
Flight of the Navigator was released right at the beginning of 3D computer animation. So it was actually the world's first 35mm film to use environment mapping, creating the illusion of a chrome object, i.e. the spaceship, occupying a live-action frame.
The effects were good.
Yeah, the ship effects are quite cool.
Yeah. Very well done.
And the thing about it, I guess, is that once the film starts to show its age, then the effects fit less and less into it. Like, just look too clean, all that kind of stuff. But and some neat traditional kind of effects. There's some suspended steps that are in it that he walks up to get into the ship. And I thought, how the heck did they do that? And it's actually what I thought they might have done is... There are support beams behind that are at such an angle that you don't see them. So very cool. Kind of trickery, you know, optical illusion kind of stuff. On May 25th, 2009, The Hollywood Reporter revealed Disney was readying a remake. Oh, dear.
Ooh.
I haven't heard anything about it, but maybe Race to Witch Mountain wisened them up a bit.
Maybe.
I don't know. So released July 30th, 86... 90 minutes long, gross revenue, almost $18.6 million. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you The Flight of the Navigator.
And I just do need to quickly say one last thing. Joey Kramer, who played David Scott Freeman, the main character, essentially.
Yes.
Did an amazing, amazing job.
Yeah, he was a good child actor, hey?
He was very good. So
he was good.
Yeah, not a total write-off, in my opinion. I think it's worth seeing.
And the soundtrack is actually... The score is by Alan Silvestri. And, of course, Alan Silvestri is a fantastic film score composer.
And if you want to bop to some 80s...
Yeah, there's some crazy
keyboard,
there's some crazy 80s techno keyboardy kind of stuff in it.
It's the bomb, baby.
Film was directed by Randall Kleiser. Randall Kleiser directed... look at that, Grease...
Woo-hoo.
The Blue Lagoon, Summer Lovers, Grandview, USA with Jamie Lee Curtis, Big Top, Pee-wee, White Fang, and Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Oh, brother.
There you go.
Which we are not going to watch, by the way.
No, I don't think we will.
But that does
transition into...
The second of the double feature.
Take it away, lady.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
And you know what? I've never seen it.
No, I hadn't either.
Weird.
I had avoided
but,
it, I
But
believe.
You know what? 89, same deal.
Yeah, but right? 3 years later.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have it here first.
Turn
Michelle,
the six upside down.
Michelle has calculated time. The passage of time. I was in university, so it was like, well, I'm going to go to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? No, I'm not.
But I do, this one did at least come across my radar. I remember it being theaters, and I remember not going to see it on purpose. So.
Oh, dear.
But you know what, when it's not a teen, teens don't go to
no.
that kind of stuff.
Teens are bitter and jaded and hormone-fueled.
There might be some that do, but I didn't. So anyway.
Okay.
I think everybody pretty much knows the premise of this movie.
Yeah. Dad, Rick Moranis, who is Canadian, by the way, one half of the McKenzie brothers, Bob and Doug. There you go.
That's right, yeah.
So Rick Moranis, aside from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and Ghostbusters, I don't really remember him doing a lot that was of note. Which is too bad.
He's another stuff. I just
very
can't
talented. Yeah, nothing really jumps out to my mind. So the cast are...
I thought you were passing this over to me. And
oh,
then
I
you
am.
Keep interrupting
I'm
me.
I'm sorry. Let me just be quick. No. Directorial debut of Joe Johnston. Stars Rick Moranis, Matt Frewer, Marcia Strassman. A lot of people that you'll recognize. Yeah, came out June 89. And now I'm going to stop.
Really?
Go.
You're really going to
stop?
Go.
Go before it's too late.
What if I don't want to say anything now?
Well, this is radio. You got to talk or you're fired.
All right, fine. So pretty much everybody knows the premise of this movie, I'm sure. He, being
shrinks
Rick Moranis,
kids.
invents a shrink.
It's working on
I
one.
I guess a shrink ray.
Yeah.
And it's not working, and then all of a sudden it does work, and it shrinks the kids. His kids and the neighbor's kids. And then he comes home, and he ends up
unshrinking
transporting
them
into the backyard, and they have to make it back to the house.
So he's a quirky, clumsy inventor, professor kind of guy. Disney's never done that before.
No.
Oh, wait, what am I thinking?
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's pretty much the whole thing, is the kids trying to get back to the house, and the whole, you know, the lawn is their jungle, and...
It's pretty...
They're
you know,
dodging enormous insects
it is,
and whatever
it,
else.
It is cool. There's some funny stuff in it. There's some neat... There's some neat sets and stuff that they've done to make the kids look like they're tiny.
It was very way neat. Better than I
expected.
Man, yeah,
dared to dream.
Yeah. It, but I guess, you know, like, as a teenager, you just think everything's lame anyway. So,
yep.
If that's your impression of it, you would be happily surprised.
Yes, and if you, like I did, passed it by completely, or Michelle did, knowingly dodged it, it is great for kids. We Connor and Emily did not see this one just because of scheduling.
And they were very irritated.
They were. And they were even, when we were talking about recording the show this week, they were talking about, we didn't get to see that. You know, they want to rub our noses in that we went, how could we go ahead, bad parents that we are.
Yeah.
Score to this film, James Horner. So, Alan Silvestri, James Horner. Two great composers, two Disney movies from the 80s. There you go.
Yeah.
So, yes, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, if you have not seen it, you must, you know, just for fun. And if you have kids that, and you or your kids haven't seen it, do them and yourself the justice. You'll be surprised.
Yeah. But as I was saying before, and I will say again, I have no desire to see any of the sequels.
No.
Honey, I Blew Up the Audience or Shrunk the Audience.
No, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience was is the attraction at Disneyland.
Yeah, that's the only sequel that I care to see,
yes.
Which I've already seen a few times.
Yes.
So, and I mean, that's probably, you know, would make people a lot more, you know, obviously this one is more familiar just in general because of that ride at Disneyland.
Yep.
Anyone who's been there, you know, even
associates.
If you haven't seen the movie, you kind of get the idea.
Yep.
So.
So there you go. There's a double shot Disney Vault for returning Disney Vault from the Disney Vault.
Yeah.
And so that has been View from the Couch for this week. I hope it's hasn't been too painful for you. We had fun. Hope you did. And we will catch you next time. We're probably going to do a little bit more Star Trek next week and some more stuff. I've also got several written reviews on the go, so I'll touch on those next week. And in the meantime, have a great week, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast.
View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.